This is Deacon Mike, and welcome as we look at the readings for the second Sunday of Advent, December 9th. The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Baruch, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Please find this passage in your Bible and return to this podcast when you are ready. Baruch is one of the seven books found in the Catholic and Eastern Orthodox Bibles and not to be found in Protestant Bibles. The difference in the number of books in the Bible depends on which council that was deciding upon the authorized books that you decide to follow. The rabbis who met in Jerusalem chose 39 books to include in their scriptures, while the Greek-speaking Jews in Alexandria chose an additional 7. The Council of Trent, which met during the late 1500s, decreed that Roman Catholics would follow the Alexandrian Council and include the 7 additional books in the Old Testament. Baruch was the well-known secretary to the prophet Jeremiah, and this book is a fictionalized narrative addressed to Jeconiah, the son of the king Jehoiakim, and all the exiles living in Babylon. It retells the history of the exiles from their land, showing the reason for their distress. Not heeding the voice of the Lord their God or the prophets, each went their own way after the devices of their own wicked hearts. But Baruch also reassures them of the coming restoration, for their God is a God of forgiveness and mercy. Jerusalem is told to look to the east, towards Babylon, and see her children gathered from the east and west at the word of the Holy One, a reminder that God's love and mercy is not just for the chosen people, but for the whole world. Every mountain is to be made low, and the old depths and gorges are to be filled. The practice at that time, that was when your earthly ruler was coming to visit your town, the roads were to be made as straight as possible. Heights were to be lowered and low spots filled in, so the king could have a straight and smooth and even ride to your city. We are reminded that if we are so willing to do this for an earthly ruler, shouldn't we do everything possible in our spiritual lives as we await the coming of our heavenly king? The New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. At this time, I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 1 and read verses 4 to 6 and 8 to 11. Paul's letter to the Philippians was written in the year 61 AD, while Paul was in captivity in Rome. We read today from the introduction of this letter to the Christians in the city of Philippi in northern Greece, a city that was named after Philip, the father of Alexander the Great. It is referred to as a letter of joy, with 16 references to joy, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Following the letter-writing tradition of the time, after the author first introduces himself, he then continues with a personal address to the community to whom the letter is being sent. The introduction in this letter is longer than usual because of the great friendship Paul has toward the Christians in Philippi. Verse 6 makes reference to "He who began a good work in you." This is a reminder to us that God initiates and completes the good works, but we are to cooperate by striving to be holy, growing daily more in love. Today's gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went through the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough roads made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets and the first of the New Testament prophets, is the focus of Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. The reading of the names in verses 1 to 2 is placing the events of what is about to happen in the course of the history of the world. These names move from the rulers of the world, Tiberius Caesar, to local civic leaders, such as Pilate and Herod, and then to the local priestly leaders, Ananias and Caiaphas. Jewish tradition held that the high priest of the temple was the only one allowed to enter the Holy of Holies in the temple at Jerusalem, for it was in the Holy of Holies that God dwelt when he visited earth. But Roman authorities intervened, who began appointing the high priests at will from among those civil authorities who they felt would be less trouble to the Roman Empire. Verse 5 is a repeat of the instructions on preparing for the coming of the Lord, but now a spiritual Lord instead of an earthly Lord. In citing Isaiah, John the Baptist is showing that the promises of a Messiah made so long ago are now being fulfilled. John preaches that to prepare for this coming, one must undergo a baptism of repentance, not just merely saying, "I'm sorry," or "pardon me," but a complete 180 turnaround, facing another direction, a new way of life. Verse 6 reminds us that all humankind will face their final judgment before the one true God of heaven and earth. As a side note, the church only celebrates 3 birthdays throughout the liturgical year: Jesus on December 25th, Mary on September 8th, and John the Baptist on June 24th. Other feast days of saints or prominent persons of faith are yearly reminders of the day of their earthly death and their spiritual birth in heaven. This is Deacon Mike, inviting you to join me next week, and remember, live the Word.